Okay, so this is the second and hopefully final part for Aaron Zagel and the Civil War. Okay, I'm going to, I'm not going to recap the whole first year. Sorry. But, because, like, there's really two parts. The first one I wanted to show you just to see where the Midrashim come from, all the inconsistencies in the Pasuk, and where Chazal make up this, you know, amazing story about the sin of the Civil War. That was really the first part. And I was just trying to show you the motivation of like how the Pesukim, they almost don't have a pshat. So I'll just recap the essential Rashi. I'm going to read the essential Rashi that the whole thing is based upon. It's in Dvarim, Perek Yud, Pasuk Vav, and Zion. And then I'll just quickly summarize how we, what we say by about Aaron and Ega a little bit. And then we'll move forward. Okay? So the motivation in terms of all the Pesukim for the Midrashim themselves, that's from last week's year. But whatever, you can just trust Rashi that these are Midrashim are well motivated. Okay, but part of the the beauty of these midrashim is you see how like how Chazal create this whole story from all the different problems, and the story solves so many different problems scattered throughout the Chumash, and you end up with this whole new story. This time, I want to analyze the story and see if we can understand it, what we can gain from the story itself. Okay, so Perek Yud Pasuk Vav. So these psukim are at random, in these very random psukim. They have nothing to do with the context that they seemingly, where they're placed. It's Ubnei Yisrael Nasu Bnei Eros Bnei Yakan Mosera. They traveled from Bnei Yakan to Mosera. Shameis Aaron Vayikaver Sham. There Aaron died and he was buried there. Vayichahen Elozer Bnei Tachtav Misham Nasu Agud Goda. From there they went to Ahagud Goda. Umin Agud Goda Yitzvos Eretz Nachle Mayim. Okay, so Rashi is like this. What is these psukim? What do they have to do with anything? They're actually totally out of the context. Khan is about the Cheta Egel, the Cheta, the, and the breaking the Luchos.
What are the psukim?
What are these psukim doing here? What are they, these two psukim I just read? The travels of Bnei Israel after 40 years. Yeah. It's the wrong, it's 40 years out of place. This is Sefer Dvar Moshe is recapping the Cheta Egel and the breaking of the Luchos that happened in the first year. And maybe the Cheta Meraglim, which happened in the second year. But this is dealing with 40 years later, and the psukim are totally at random. There's spliced in there. So that's the first question.
What's the second thing aside from the journey?
The death of Aaron.
Got it.
Okay. V'chi mi'be'iros b'nei Yakan nasim l'mosera. Did they really travel from b'nei Yakan to Mosera? V'alo mi'mosera b'alo b'nei Yakan. Sh'nerim v'yasum yisum mi'saros mi'mosros. So it has it backwards. This pasuk has the order of backwards. They didn't go from b'nei Yakan to Mosera. They went the other way, from Moseros to Bnei Yakan. So why, what are they doing here, and why do they have everything backwards? Right, the journeys are reversed. V'yod, Shameis Aaron. Did Aaron really die there? V'alo b'hor ha'harameis. It's open in Pesukim, Chukas. He died in Hor ha'har. So why is it saying that's where he died? Just doesn't make any sense. Tzeu chashu atim tishmon ha'masos Moseros la'hor ha'har. It's eight different camps. Travels from Moseros to Hor ha'har. How could you possibly say that's where he died? Ella, rather, what you must say, the Medrash is saying, Avzu menatochacha. This is also part of Moshe's rebuke to Bnei Israel. V'oda sisem zos, kishemeis Aaron b'hor har. When Aaron died in Hor har, l'sofer b'imshana, at the end of the 40 years, v'nistalko nani akavod, and the nani akavod went away when Aaron died, which we'd like to explain. Why did the nani akavod go away when Aaron died? Right? But that's the Medrash. Right, we explained the motivation for that last week. But why? Why is that?
You didn't say why it left when Aaron died.
No, I didn't explain why it is. I explained how Chazal know that.
Oh, because I'm alive.
Because they were attacked. They were attacked. Must have been there was an opening. Must have been the Nani Kavan, which protected them from their enemies, went away. Right, so Chazal inferred the Nani Kavan went away when Aaron died.
And it was a Mechlokes whether it was a Malek or not.
Rashi learns it was a Malek. Side point. Not that, that we're not going to. Because you see, since you see immediately after Aaron dies, Vayishma Melech Arad, and he attacks, so you can infer that the Inani Kava went away. Why you want to know? Why did the Inani Kava go away when Aaron died? Why did that happen?
Same question by the Baron. Separate question,
yes,
but
same thing.
But same concept.
Yes, same concept. Okay. Okay, so the Inani Kava go away. You're Eisim Lechem Mimilchemes Melech Arad. So you got, everybody, Bnei Israel got scared from the war of Melech Arad. Unesatem Rosh lasa Mitzrayim, and you appointed a leader to return to Mitzrayim. Right? Basically, Bnei Israel had enough of the whole Torah and Sinai, and they were going back to Egypt. Right? the Lo Sase, they're not allowed to go back to Egypt. They were going to violate it. Yeah.
Just fast one more time. Did they try to go back when Aaron died?
So Aaron dies.
Aaron dies, and
then the Nanekova go away. The enemy attacks. They run away. They retreat. They don't really know how to get back, so they just retrace their steps.
Right.
Right. They go back 8 camps. Okay. Okay. From Hor Har, they go back all the way to Moseros. V'chazartem l'choreyam shmona masos. They go backwards 8 camps. Abne Yakon u'misham l'mosera. Right. That's why it's reversed, because they reversed the order of how they camped originally. Sham nilchemu l'chem b'nei Levi v'hargu michem v'atem mehem ad sheikh zero eschem b'derech chazar aschem. And there was a civil war. B'nei Levi killed some of B'nei Yisrael. B'nei Yisrael killed some of Sheva Levi.
Anyone else besides Sheva Levi fighting against all the 12 tribes?
No, doesn't seem like it.
Was Sheva Levi versus everyone else?
Yes. Maybe all the tribes didn't join in the civil war. Maybe some of them sat it out. Okay, certainly enough of them did. Rashi there shows how we saw how some of them, there was some families from Levi went extinct, some from Binyamin, some from two other ones I forgot.
So
God, maybe.
Why doesn't Rashi mention this when he's answering why Levi was so small?
He does.
No, in the.
Oh, why is it small? Because that could be because that was earlier. That wasn't. This is at the end of the 40 years.
Yeah, got it.
Okay.
And it was before the rebellion.
Right. The Civil War.
Civil War.
Right, correct. Okay, and so Sheva Levi is victorious in the war. It's an ugly war, but they win, and they get Klal Yisrael to return. Mishem Chazartim Hagugodahu Hagugad, and that's why they travel. Then the pasuk goes back, and they want to start traveling back in the right direction.
Why didn't God like give them the protection like He prompted? Like because it was a holy war, why wasn't He on the Levim's side, like by the Knot, where no one died or stuff like that?
Oh, good question. Maybe we don't answer.
Well, first of all, the Enni Kova wasn't there anymore. Second of all,
no, in any holy war, no Jews died. Like, and if anyone died, it was.
Well, I don't know if this was a super holy war.
This wasn't a holy
war. Well, maybe we'll explain. Our answer will explain. Okay? We'll explain that. Fine. In a good goda. Fine. In Moseros. So, why does it say that Aaron died in Moseros? Right? In Moseros, Asisim Avel Kovet, Amisas Ashara. So, that's when they mourned Aaron in Moseros. Shegar malachem zos, because they realized the death of Aaron caused this whole thing to happen, caused them to rebel against God at the point of leader, caused them to retreat, caused Sheva Levi to go after them, because the Anani HaKavod had ultimately gone away, and it caused the whole sequence of events. And in Moseros is where they made an avelus for Aaron. V'samach Moshe tochachazu. So now the question is, why does Rashi put it, or why does the Torah put it here? The Samach Moshe Tochacha Zu L'Shvir Saluchos, and the Moshe puts this Tochacha by the breaking of the Luchos, Lomar, Shekasha Misasan Shal Tzadikin L'Fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu K'yom Shishtar Bo Luchos. It wants to teach you that the death of Tzadikim is as difficult before HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the day the Luchos were broken. So the death of Aaron is as difficult as the day the Luchos were broken. Right, what day were the luchos broken?
Tisha B'av.
Shiva Sabatamos.
Shiva Sabatamos.
We're close.
Yeah,
I know, because I know it was like
one of the five things. Okay, fine. So this is the Misa Vatzadik is equal to that. Okay.
Was Shiva Sabatamos?
Yeah.
Wasn't the eagle on Tisha B'av?
No, the Meragno was on Tisha B'av.
Eagle wasn't Shiva Sabatamos?
Eagle Shiva Sabatamos, or Tazayim Matamos, technically. Huh. Well, when they worshipped it was Shiva Sabatamos. Right? And so Moshe came down and broke it. That's when they worshipped it. Okay. Ulodiach, and finally, to teach you, Shehuk Shalom Mash Amru Nitnarosh Lifrosh Mimenu Kiyam Shasabos Eagle, that it was as difficult for God, this sin, where they said they pointed a leader to go back to Mitzrayim, to be Porish, to separate from God, as the day they made the Eagle. So this is not a small sin. It's a very serious sin. Like the eagle, right? The eagle is a bad sin. This sin that the Medrash reveals of them deciding to abandon the whole Torah and go back to Mitzrayim, that's as difficult as the day that they made the eagle. Okay?
Difficult for whom?
Yeah.
Before God.
Is the fact of Nitna Rosh, is that like a crucial aspect of this?
What's the question?
I mean, Nitna Rosh I think it's from the Meraglim. I think that's where the phrase comes from. Nitna Rosh from Shum Mitzrayim. Is that a crucial aspect?
Yes, keeps being brought up.
It could be. I mean, Rashi says by Iraq that it's Lashon Avodah Zarah. But I'm not going to make a big deal out of it, but maybe you'll be able to weave it in, something nice. So you can take that Rashi, that it's Lashon Avodah Zarah. I'm learning it just Stami as a leader. But yeah, he does mention a few times.
Is the question why he went to the Egel? What's the question?
You just play him shot as a crucial part of the sin.
Oh, that they made a leader to go back?
Yeah.
It does seem like Rashi mentions it. So that's going to be on you, Yaakov, to weave it into the shir. Okay?
What's it?
Rashi keeps saying they appointed a leader. Not Narosh. They appointed a leader to return back to Mizraim.
Yeah.
So Yaakov says, wait, Rashi must have said at least twice here, right?
Yeah.
So is that like part an important part of the sin? They made a leader to go back. Okay.
As it says, Hukshilo Mashamu and Nitna Rosh. Now that they actually
Lifrosh Yemenu.
Right.
To separate from God.
Right.
Okay. And look, it's a quote from the Meraglim, so that might also be relevant. But again, we're going
to
hear
the question why it's equal to the Egel. What's the question we're trying to figure out?
Understand the story. Yeah, we'd like to know why it's with the ego. We'd like to know.
Because it's going against the whole purpose of the Jews.
Is this Svara building now?
So, okay, you guys ready to give an answer?
Yeah. No, I don't
okay,
know. Really I don't know what the question is.
I want to think of
the question. Is why did the Anani HaKavod go away when Aaron died?
Okay.
You know, what's the message of the story? What's the going on? What is the idea? Like, it's one thing, you look, the Midrashim, there's like different parts to learning Midrashim. One is to see how the Midrash resolves the inconsistencies in the Pasuk, the problems, things like that. And then you have like story time. You hear a nice little story that you didn't know about. But then you also like to analyze it. What can we learn from this story? If it was a parsha in the Torah, you would analyze it. You would learn from it. So now it's a Midrash, right? So it's Torah Shabbat Peh. But we'd like to analyze the story and understand it. See, what is it? What can we learn from it? What does it teach us? And then we'd like to understand, what does it mean that Kasha, what is Rashi says, the 2 points is trying to teach you, that Kasha Misasan Shal Tzadikim Lefnei Kach Baruch Hu Kiyom Shesh Dabra Luchos. What's the equation of the Misa of Tzadikim, like the day that the Luchos were broken?
What's that question?
What?
What was that last
what's question? The equation? What is the equation?
Between
between the Misa of a Tzadik, okay,
yeah,
and the breaking of the Luchos.
Because people direct their emotions towards this thing. And meaning they apply their religious emotion to this person, and when it's destroyed, that the object of the religious emotion is gone.
But are you talking about Hashem or about the Israel?
Well,
wait, are you talking about Hashem?
It could be. I just, you know.
But who are you referring to in the question? Are you referring to God or Hashem?
I thought that was a very deep question for a second. I think, is he mean Midas Hadin or Midas Harachamim? I'm trying to figure out what he's talking about. Very deep, Ariel, very deep.
Okay.
What's the equation? I'm just asking a simple question. What's the equation?
The equation.
They're two different things, the breaking of the Luchos and the death of Tzadikim. What's it talking about? I mean, it's just, there's a chazal here that's equating the death of Tzadikim to the breaking of the Luchos.
Just they're equals. Equal.
I mean, yeah, they're...
X equals Y.
Yeah. What is it? What are they different? What's the commonality? What's the idea and the equation?
That's the problem.
Okay. We'll add on to it. We'll give some more things to help out.
And the Luchos, like I said, like people view them as the Torah, and then when their body dies, they feel like the Torah was lost, but they're just, they just have the ideas. The ideas aren't attached to them.
Wait, and
like the Luchos, like when you destroy the Luchos,
let's take some steps and we'll get okay.
And what was the question?
3 weeks of pent up.
What was the question about when that Bnei Israel went back, tried to go back to Egypt? That's like worse or just as equal as the
right. That's as difficult as the Chet Egel. It shows you it's very difficult. We'd like to understand that too. That'd be nice.
Okay.
I think I got that.
Okay, so we just started off last week taking a step, which it's not even really fully essential, but I like it, so I included it. Okay, is that we looked at how Aaron, the Chet, how Aaron's role in the Egel. Okay, so there's a Rashi in Shmos, Lamed Beis Hei, Vayiven Mizbech Lefanov. So Rashi says that Aaron saw Chor was killed, Vayiven Mizbech Lefanov, and he saw that basically if he had tried to stop them from making the Egel, they would have killed him. And he saw um, Okay, and then he said better that they should be tola the sirchan, that the sin should be attributed to him as opposed to Bnei Israel.
Like Jesus' moment.
Something like that. We said that yes last week. I hope that was on the tape. No,
it was not.
Like I cut somehow. Okay, and
the Jesus part was.
No, I got that. Okay, and the third part is he tried to slow them down. He knew if they were to do it, it would happen too quickly. Okay. So we said that is that you have to realize Aaron's sin. It wasn't just a superficial sin, that he was afraid that he was going to die, and therefore he went along with their plan and helped them make the eagle to save his life. And had that been the case, then there would have been no kapara for Aaron. Rather, what Aaron saw was that if he stood up to them and they killed him, then that would have increased their sin. Because they killed, the Navi Hashem and the Kohen, B'mikdash Hashem, like the Medrash has. To kill Aaron HaKohen would have really tremendously increased the Chet HaEgel. Chor was bad enough. And Esau would have devolved out of control in a much faster way. He was able to slow it down and direct it. And also, they wouldn't have had Aaron as part of their group. It helps to have a tzaddik, like Aaron, as part of the group of sinners. It mitigates when you're judged. You have Aaron as the leader, it takes away from the crime of the tzibor, the fact that he b'gdola, hey, look, it's the Egel Asher Asa Aaron, he was part of it, he was leading it. You know, talk to him why it happened. So it takes away the full brunt of the sin from them and shifts it onto him to a certain extent. So, and then we showed that the kapara of Klal Yisrael in Yom HaShmini for the Chet HaEgel, Yom HaShmini the Milu and Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that was the kapar for Klal Yisrael and the kapar for Aaron. And Moshe told them that, why they were upset the Shekhinah hadn't been shorer for the first 7 days when Moshe was putting it together. Moshe said, don't be upset, because Aaron is my brother, he's better than me. The kapar will happen, the Shekhinah will happen through his karbanos, not through me. And the kapar for them, and Aaron's, the eagle that he brought as a kapara, it all happened, the kapar for Aaron and Bnei Yisrael came together.
Was the Anon, the Shekhinah?
Yeah.
Okay, then when Aaron died.
Hold on. Don't jump. Okay. So the kapara for Klal Yisrael and Aaron, it came together. He was part of the group. Okay. And that the Chet HaEgel, it fundamentally, I think, it changed the relationship between the Tzibor and Aaron and the Tzibor and Moshe. Right? This is where the Tzibor is afraid they lost Moshe. That generated the whole Chet HaEgel. They were worried Moshe was dead, Moshe was gone. And that's Moshe's up on the mountain ultimately. He doesn't partake of the sin. He's with God. Aaron joins up with them. And I think from that point on, there is a certain shift in their attitude towards Moshe and attitude towards Aaron. There's one Rashi I'll show you later which brings it out. But basically, he became the most beloved person in the nation, Aaron, from that point on, okay? Partly because of his personality and a big part because of what he did, of the sacrifice he made. Like we said, yes, he was wrong in a certain sense. That's why he needed kapara for the chait. But there's a sense where you can understand it. And it's deserving of kapara, what Aaron did. He sinned for Klal Yisrael, to save Klal Yisrael. Had he not sinned, you wouldn't have had a Klal Yisrael. So he sinned in order to maintain the existence of the nation. Okay, and he joined together with them, and it was not a simple sin. It was a complex sin, and it was appreciated by the Tzibor, and they loved him for it. Okay. We mentioned the Ram and the Mon Avochim in Paragimel, Chelek Gimel Parag Mem, which tries to explain the whole rationale why the Torah says that the Rotzeach B'Shogeg, the unintentional murder, goes free when the Kohen Gadol dies. And he bases it on the idea that the Kohen Gadol is the most loved person in the nation. And when the Kohen Gadol dies, the Avelis is the most difficult. Everybody's sad. And that mitigates the mourning of the relatives of the person who was murdered.
Meaning the Kohen Gadol is not supposed to be like a king, some like lofty person who
right, he's
was
the,
like an elitist.
Right, correct. He's the most, he's close to the people. He brings kapara for the people. Yom Kippur, everything is tali on him. Yom Kippur, we mentioned, is why the Kohen Gadol only Aaron. Is that's really the kapar for the ego was really on Yom Kippur. So we spoke of that last time a little bit. That was basically where we're going last time. Okay?
People are supposed to like the Kohen Gadol.
Love the Kohen Gadol. And he's supposed to daven for them.
Well,
he has to daven for them. That's why he's responsible to a certain extent of the for the Rotzeach B'Shogeg is because the Kohen Gadol didn't daven for them. Right? Right, so there's a special relationship between the Kohen Gadol, the Kohanim in general, and the Am. Meis Am, Meizov, Chezevach. There is a relationship between the Am and the Kohanim. It's supposed to be there. That's why there's Tovas Hana, in terms of giving Matnos Kahuna, when you give Matanos gifts to the Kohanim. A certain relationship that's supposed to be developed between the people and the Kohanim. And they teach Yor Mishpatech Yaakov, Esras Chol Yisrael. They teach Klal Yisrael Torah, Shevet Levi, but the Kohanim. And the Kohen Gadol is the most. He's the most loved person in the nation. He davens for them. They love him. That's part of his role. It's an essential feature of his role. Okay, and that's why Aaron was the prototype. He's the paradigm of a Kohen Gadol. Okay, he was the most beloved person. I think what you see is part of the reason they love him is what he was willing to do for them.
They realized that he wasn't actually in on it?
Yeah, they understood. I mean, you know, maybe not in that moment, but certainly afterwards.
No, later on they realized that he was just faking.
Yes. I mean, yeah, of course. Pasha. Pasha. Okay.
Just don't fake anything. Like
okay.
Left
okay, now...
My question was, did they know that?
No.
Okay, look. Now, I want to say, in looking in Sefer Dvarim, in Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Ches, it's a famous Rashi. All these Rashis are famous, right?
Hey, what was it?
Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Ches. Okay, so now we'll start with you this week. Okay, we'll try to move a little bit, because we want this to be two parts, not three.
I'm going to
I know you are. Okay. So Rashi says, so the Pasuk says, Vayivku when Moshe dies. Right? We're trying to get Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. We'll get everybody's Misa and Yoshua even today. All four of their deaths, okay? Vayivku b'nei Yisrael Moshe, b'arvas Moav, shloshim yom. Vayitmu yimei b'chiyeva Moshe. So b'nei Yisrael cried for Moshe and arvas Moav for 30 days when he died. So Rashi says, b'nei Yisrael hazacharim. So the males, okay, cried for Moshe for 30 days when he died. Abba Ba'aron
emphasizes the males?
Yeah, B'nai Yisrael. Okay, the children.
That doesn't include...
Nope.
Oh.
Because you'll see when you conscious it to Aaron. Abba Ba'aron mitoch shahaya rodev shalom v'nosin shalom ben ish l're'ehu v'bein ish l'baila ne'mar kol beis Yisrael z'charim v'nekevos. So Aaron says v'yifku kol beis Yisrael. But by Moshe says B'nai Yisrael. So the men and the women, the entire tzibor, mourned when Aaron died. Okay? I mean, we know the backstory from that. It has to do with the Civil War to a certain extent. They realized what, you know, Aaron's death did. But by Aaron, everybody, men and women, everybody cried. And everybody mourned. But by Moshe, presumably because Moshe taught them Torah, and he taught the men Torah more so than the women, except for... Okay. So, I don't want to go off on a sidetrack. I know you. Nashim Hatzofos, right?
What?
Oh, no, forget about it. Okay.
Why did you
do that? I'm just teasing you, that's all. Okay, so Kol Beis Yisrael, because why did all of Klal Yisrael mourn Aaron? Right? Because, like Rashi says here, he was Oiv Shalom, the Rodev Shalom, Venosian Shalom, being Ishler Eyu, being Ishler Baila. It's Shalom between man and woman, and man and his friend, and a woman and her husband. Okay, and as a result of that, he was, you know, he was, that was part of his personality. Why he, the Kohen Gadol, Aaron in particular, was so beloved is because, not just because he brought Kapara, but because he was involved in creating shalom and peace amongst the people. Well, marriage council, yes.
Did you just say he made peace between man and woman and...
When did he
have or was that on purpose, or that was just...
They said man and his friend.
Man and his friend.
And the woman and her husband.
And the woman and her husband.
When did he have time to do all this?
That's what he did all day long. This is what he did.
Oh, I mean, he wasn't bringing Kerban.
He wasn't bringing Kerbanos, yeah, is what he did. Okay. I mean, I guess he learned Torah also, but... Okay, that's what he did. Now, there's a also, you know, the Sota goes to the Kohen, the Mikdash. The Kohen is the one who does the Sota, right? Part of the Kohen's role to bring Shalom being Ish L'Ishto, right? God bless Shalom Yomochik the Shem Hashem for Shalom. It's the Kohen. The Kohen does it, right? It's part of the Kohen's role, marriage counseling. Okay. So now there's
That's very interesting.
So that's part of.
We should bring that.
Also, it's Saras because of Lashon Hara, right? You got the Kohen. We have three others. The Kohen's role.
Yeah. What's his, that.
Yeah. Okay. So in Pirkei Avos.
Very social.
Yeah. You know, this is what the Kohen does. Right, you speak Lashon Hara, you break down society, the Kohen Gadol, he has to do tshuva. That's why the Melchinah says it. Because the Kohen helps him do tshuva and how to correct his, you know, his social.
When you bring a curb on, they would like ask you like what you did, like what was the curban for, and
right? Then, yeah. Help you do tshuva. Right, this is the role. This is the role. And they taught you Torah, right? Yom Shvatechia. So Hillel v'Shamai. This is some of Hillel's show. So Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Beis, and Perek Yavos. So it says Hillel Omer, Havei mitalmidav shel Aaron. You should be of the students of Aaron. Ohiv Shalom, v'Rodev Shalom, Ohiv Esabrios Mekarav in the Torah. So you should love peace. You should chase after peace. You should love people, and you should bring them close to Torah. Okay, the Talmid, the students of Aaron. So there's an excellent Rambam in the Perek Mishnayos. Okay, we're going to mostly have Rashi's, but the Rambam's very good. So it just speaks about Aaron's personality. The Rambam knew about it, I guess.
How did he know?
He must have had Midrashim, I think. These Midrashim I didn't look up. Avos Rav Nasan, Yaakov Shimoni. Okay. So it's like this. Amr al Aaron alav Hashem is the Rambam, the Kafach. Ki kishaya margish ashamel adam, shetocho ra, when he used to hear about somebody, or he could sense that the person internally was not a good person. V'sheyesh biyado avera, and he had certain averos in his hands. He used to do, the person was a baal avera. Hayamaktin lo shalom, he would say, always say shalom to him. He would always say, you know, good morning, good afternoon, how you doing? Umis yachid imo, he would spend time with him. Umar biladabri imo, and make sure he strikes up conversations with him and talk to him. V'oz, oso adam, atzmo, mizbayish. So that person, when Aaron starts to become friends with him and spending time with him, hanging out with him, he starts getting embarrassed. V'omer, ayelo, poor him. Ilu yada Aaron es matzfuno umaisa. If a person, if Aaron knew, meaning himself, if he knew what's really going on inside me and how I act when he's not around, loha yamarshal atzmo lirosaini, he would never allow himself to even look at me, kolshkin adabri me, forget about it, even talk to me. He would never want to be my friends. But he's a great guy, and almost this is the biggest Aaron's the biggest the gadol ador, right? Except for Moshe, fine, Moshe and Aaron. And he's
so
talking to me.
So he didn't try to come across as like completely understanding, just nice.
He's being friends with the guy. Friends, talking
right,
to him.
I know, but not in like the, I completely understand you and forgive you for everything.
He doesn't forgive him. He's just hanging out with him, talking, being a nice person.
Yeah.
The person says, if Aaron really knew what I was like, there's no way he wouldn't even talk to me. I'm a Russia, big Russia. And he would never talk to me. He doesn't know what I'm like. Elishani Eitzlo Becheskes Chassid. He thinks I'm just a Chassid. He thinks I'm, he doesn't realize what I am. He thinks I'm a Chassid. That's why he's friends with me. Avalani Amis is Machshavto. But I'm going to make it true. This is what he thinks of me. I'm going to make it true. I'm going to actually become that person. And he would change his ways, and he'd become one of the students of Aaron. He would learn from him.
So this is the recommended.
It's a method of causing a person to do tshuva. Is to become like a super ego figure, becomes friends with somebody, and you talk to him, you treat him nicely, and then he wants to live up to the image you have of him, right? It's if you create an. If you're a superego figure for somebody.
That's interesting that he didn't try to argue with him.
No, that wasn't his method. It's much more subtle. It's unbelievable. It's an insight. A superego figure, the way it influenced them is just being nice to them. And they think that if they think that you have an image of them, of being a good person on a high level, and you're a superego figure to them, they want to live up to that image that you project, that they think you have of them. And that causes them to be close to you. But he didn't do anything. He was just nice to people. And I said, if he really knew what I was like, he wouldn't want to be friends with me. I'm gonna live up to that ideal. I'm gonna make sure that ideal he has of me. Obviously, Aaron knew that wasn't the case, but he acted like he did.
That's why he's being nice.
Right, exactly. Amar Hashem b'ta'ar oso midah in Malachi, when Hashem describes him, the Navi describes him in the this midah, this amazing quality. B'shalom meishar halach iti v'rab heishim me'avon. Through peace and fairness, he walked with me, and the multitude and many people he returned from sin. So it's this quality that he was well known with, that Hillel is referring to. Which means Talmid of Aaron. It means in terms of this idea of Oiv Shalom, Verodiv Shalom. And trying to get people mikarven into Torah, okay. And this is what Aaron would do, right? Even be ishto ishto if he saw people were fighting.
So what Hillel meant is become a super ego figure and be nice to people.
I mean, that's if you are a super ego figure, that's how you do it.
I'm asking, when he says that, is he applying that to anyone else besides?
Of course. So there's many different ways. That's just one example that Aaron was able to do because of his position. But it means anybody who's in any different way. if you know, if you have two friends that are fighting, it's the opportunities you have to diffuse fighting between people, it happens every day. Okay, every day. You don't realize how often you're in that position. That when people start fighting, you can intercede and not, you can distract them almost. There's many different ways. That's one example. But when you start paying attention to this idea, and you try to become one of the Talmud students of Aaron, you realize that you have an unbelievable ability to really stop fighting if you're motivated, you know, not by getting involved in people's fights, by saying, start choosing sides and trying to argue with them. In the subtle type of ways. Not like a direct way where you say you get involved between them and you're going to mediate. No, that doesn't work. It's like these subtle things where you almost like you distract and you change the topic, you make a joke, and you could diffuse a fight before it gets started. Right? Like the pasuk, if the fight gets started, you know, Rashis Mud, Poter Mayim Rashis Mudon, pasuk in Mishle, once a fight gets started, it's like water through a hole. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But if you're there at the beginning, you can stop it. And this is what Aaron was engaged in. This is one of the main... This is his identifying characteristic.
The sins of Aaron are like the subtle type.
Yes. Okay. Now, the other type doesn't work, I don't think. I'm telling you, people... Just to start to get... Then you're Misavel Riv Lov Lo. That's another puzzle. To get involved in a fight that's not yours, people resent that. You know, so there's you know, it's people, you know, if you see a husband and wife, you know, fighting, and you decide you're going to go up to them and tell them, I think you guys are being foolish, you guys are being petty, come on, why can't we all get up? You know, they're going to resent you. That's not the method. There's a whole chachma. It's a chachma. The mida, it's a mida, but the mida is a chachma. And you have to develop it. And that's the talmid of you learn from Aaron. It's not like you see the example, the Rambam gives. It's an unbelievably subtle example. He's just hanging out with the guy, but he realizes what that causes a person. Right, and so you have to be a student of Aaron, a student of this Mida, and that's what he was known for. Okay, and that's why the Rashi of Eifkos of Kol Beis Yisrael is all of Klai Yisrael loved him. He was the most beloved person. His goal was to spread Shalom throughout Klai Yisrael. Ohiv Shalom v'rodiv Shalom. He loved Shalom. That's who he was. That's not Moshe Rabbeinu. You understand? That's not Moshe Rabbeinu. Not that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't love Shalom. It was in rodiv Shalom, but this is a quality that Aaron stood out with that was different from everybody else. He's the paradigm of the personality of Ohi Shalom Vero Dei Shalom.
And Moshe was busy with other stuff.
Moshe was different. Yes, correct. He was the Dayan, and he was the Malami Torah, and he has other things. And not to say Moshe was lacking the perfection, but the Chas Shalom, but that's still not the identity of that.
No, I think
Moshe's role.
The judge,
yes, exactly. Moshe's role, he couldn't necessarily take over what Aaron was able to do. That's why Aaron was a Kohen Gadol, Moshe wasn't. And it was good. It was good that you should have these segregation of duties. Okay. Where was Aaron Zochet to Kohen Gadol, by the way?
What?
I forgot. No, stop. No. Okay. Not going to do it.
Well, I don't even...
Can I try to answer the...
Menorah?
The Lucosan test.
Okay, yes. That's very nice, yeah. Okay. Now, I just want to develop the point of Shalom before I go back to answer this year, okay? I'm not quite sure if it's a tangent or not. I don't think so, but we'll see. Okay? So there's a pasuk in Hosea. Okay? Perik Yod Pasuk Beis. Okay? In Hosea. So the pasuk is Chalak Libam Ata Yeshamu. So the first pasuk Aleph is that compares Klal Yisrael to a vine. And it says Kerov L'Pirio Hir B'Lim Mizbachos Ketov L'Aretz Ha'Yetiva Matzevos. So like with the, just like is the amount of like its fruit is how many altars they had for Avodah Zarah. And the good of its land they made for Matzevos for Avodah Zarah. Okay. Chalak Libam Ata Yeshamu. So Rashi says, Chalak Libam Ata Yeshamu. Midrash Agada. Gadol HaShalom. How great is Shalom? Shafilu Yisrael Ovdei Avodah Zarah. V'Shalom B'Nehem. Ein Asata Mekatrig B'Nehem. Okay. Even if Klai Yisrael is worships of Avodah Zarah, but there's Shalom amongst them, the Satan does not accuse them. It's not a, right. The Satan is an accuser. It doesn't accuse them. It's not Makatrik. Shenemar.
Sort of like the Tower of Babel.
Yes, exactly. I'm choosing this Rashi because of the Avodah Zarah, but the Rashi in Gadol Shalom by the Migdal Bavel is also. Yes. Why the door of Mabel was destroyed, yeah. And Migdal Bavel was not, even though the Migdal Bavel was Kofar Beker.
Yeah.
Right? And these guys weren't. Yeah, exactly that, Rashi. I had a choice which one to do. I just like this one. So, and Rashi quotes a parak in Pasuk Dalad, Yud Zayin in Hosea. The Pasuk says, Chavor Tzav Mephraim Hanachlo. So it's like Chavor Tzav means like a group. It's like a chibor. This is the way the Medrash reads it, okay? The simple pshat, he's attached to Avodah Zarah. Okay, he's so attached, leave him alone, because there's no point in talking to him. But the Medrash learns that it's a chabura around Avodah, even though it's Avodah Zarah, but there's a chabura. They're one group. Hanachlo, therefore leave him alone. Okay? So that's, even though there's Avodah Zarah amongst them, since there's a chabura and there's shalom, Hanachlo, leave them alone. The Sat is not Mekantre. V'sonei ha-machloket, shenamar, chalak libam ati ha-shamu. But when there's chalak libam, there's division, and there's arguments amongst them, now they become, they're guilty, and they deserve to be punished. Yesh pischon pelek, satan l'katrik. Now there's an opening for the satan to accuse them and to, right, and to attack them. Okay, so even, it's an amazing thing, I thought about this. Maybe it wasn't me. Okay, I'm not joking around. Okay, yeah, what does it mean, right? So, what does it mean? It's amazing that even Avodah Zarah between Klal Yisrael, so long as there's Shalom, how great is Shalom? That it's an amazing medrash, if you think about it. Avodah Zarah, you usually say there's no kapara of Avodah Zarah, it's the worst of Eira, it's the most chamer of Eira.
I thought the Jews were, there was achlus by the ego. No?
By the ego? Yeah, and they weren't destroyed. Okay. Not at all. Okay. So what's the how could that be? How could Shalom, right? How could it be? What does it mean there's no, the Satan has room to Mekatrik? The Satan has no place to accuse them. No Pischon Peh when there's Shalom. Even though the desire are the worst thing, right? So how is that possible?
Yeah, I always thought the Satan works based on, you do wrong, then...
Yeah, Vodazara. It's an astounding medrash. Truthfully, it's an astounding medrash. It's found in a few places. It's in the... There's a tremendous collection on Birchos Kohanim in Medrash Rabbah, on Gadol HaShalom. It's
gotta be like, what does it mean, the Satan? I mean, just like, if you do wrong in God, what's the role of the Satan? I feel like the Satan specifically has to...
Did you say
that
wrong with
that? No, what?
What's the Satan?
What is the Satan?
No, what is the Satan? What does the Satan do to you again?
He accuses Mekatri.
For not doing what?
I mean, he does different things. In the Egel, he's part involved in the whole chait. Right? He's the one who gets him to wake up early. But in this context, the Chassatan is he's the prosecutor. Like White Blow Shofar is La Ariv is a Satan. So
he's a prosecutor for them doing the Egel?
No, like in Eov. In the first parakeet to an Eov.
Okay.
The Satan, he's Mekatri. He brings up problems, flaws you have before God. And he's like the Midas Adin. It's a personification of the Midas Adin.
The Satan is a personification of the Midas Adin?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Satan?
Yeah, no. Your alter ego.
No,
okay.
Satan.
It's an argument of why the person deserves to be punished.
Oh, okay.
Why the person deserves punishment.
That's the Satan?
Oh, okay, it's one way to understand this matter. So I'm taking it.
We're at the Satan and the bed.
Tangent.
That's me.
Now we're getting to it. Like the Ram and the Moon of Uchim, he explains.
Okay.
It could be the physical. Okay, fine. There's a whole different, many different ways of doing it. Simple pshat in this Rashi. Again, taking this Rashi. He's a Mekatrik. He's making, accusing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not doing the Rambam
and
now.
For what case, though? For us doing the Ego?
Any case. Any particular
case? Avodah Zarah.
Avodah Zarah.
Yeah, I mean, the Ego would be an example, but Avodah Zarah. Okay.
And this is abnormal for a Satan to do, because generally the Satan would encourage you to do the Avodah Zarah.
No. Forget the encouraging. There's a medrash. Okay, fine. There's a medrash that has it. He takes out the Satan. It says, "Ain't a show late by him." Okay, I mean, God doesn't. There's no punishment. There's no punishment for them. Okay, so just take out the Satan if it's confusing. I don't want to get into it.
Okay, fine.
The point is that there's no punishment for Klal Yisrael when there's. At the end, they're worshiping Avodah Zarah, but the Shalom Beinehem, the Midas Adin doesn't punish them.
I don't think it would be worse. Like, the Midas Adin should punish them more then, because then they're more of a danger to the role of Klal Yisrael.
You would think so, but it's not the case.
Right, yeah.
Right. So why should it be that there's no Midas Adin, there's no punishment for them? It leaves them alone. Hanachlo, leave them alone. Right? Chavor Ephraim, Atzavim Ephraim, Hanachlo, leave them alone. Right? But now, Chalak Libam, Ata Yeshamu, what's the sense of that? This idea? So I was thinking there's a Gemara in Gittin. It says in the Testament Beis, and also the last Ram in Hilchos Chanukah, which you might be more familiar with, right? But the Gemara in Gittin, it's the Mishnah has cases of Darkei Shalom, things that are Mishim Darkei Shalom, and it says that the Kohen reads first, right? Why the Kohen reads first in the Torah? It's a Mishnah, yeah.
What do you mean he reads first?
He gets the first Aliyah. Eil Dvarim Arim Nei Darkei Shalom. Kohen Kohen Rishon. Vachar Levi Vachar Yisrael. Nei Darkei Shalom. Right? So it's for Dakir Shalom, they were mazakin it. So the Gemara has Minnahanim, how do you know? Then it quotes a series of psukim, okay, different psukim to show it. So then Abaye says to Rav Yosef, Amalei Bar Rav Yosef, the Dakir Shalom, the Raisi, is the Mishnah is saying it's because of Dakir Shalom. But these psukim, it's a daraisa. If you go by these psukim, right? V'kidashtel, read Tam de Rabbi Shmuel, is v'kidashtel. The davar shekdusha liftach rishon. So it's daraisa. So how could you tell me that's the source? That's a daraisa pasuk. And then the Mishnah says Dakir Shalom.
Well, what does the pasuk mean?
V'kidashtel, you have to sanctify the kohen. He goes first for everything. That's a mitzvah daraisa. So is it a mitzvah daraisa or is it Dakir Shalom? Right. So. Amarlei, so Rav Yossi said back to him, Doraisa, Umime Dakir Shalom. It's Doraisa, and that's why. Right? Rashi, Doraisi, the Torah Amar came, Ibn Dakir Shalom. And why did the Torah tell you to do it? Because of Dakir Shalom. That's why. That's why the coin should go first. So people shouldn't argue. There should be a prior, once it's not each person gets to decide, right? If it's always going to be up to who goes to go first, people can argue. Once you say the coin goes first, that removes all machlokas. It becomes a system. You systematize it, and that's how you introduce shalom. So amarlei, okay. So that's amarlei. So buys it back to him. The rice and the dakei shalom. Is kol tar kula namim the dakei shalom he. The chsiv darche darchinam mechon nesivos se shalom. So that's not a good answer. The entire Torah is for Dakir Shalom. So that's not gonna explain it.
Entire Torah is for Dakir Shalom.
Yeah, Kol Torah Kula is Mitei Dakir Shalom. So how can you explain this if it's Daraisa and you say Daraisa and why did the Torah tell you to do it? Because of Dakir Shalom.
When you say Dakir Shalom, you mean between man and man?
Between everything, right? And that's the Rambam in the end of Hilchos Chanukah.
Is that what we were like Osa Shalom like at the end of Shemoneh Esrei?
That's also Gadol Shalom. Gadol Shalom is that the celestial beings, that they have no fighting and they have no jealousy and they still need Shalom. Osa Shalom Bim Romov, Gadol Shalom, that even Kal Vachomer, man who has fighting and jealousy and pettiness, needs Shalom. That's another thing, Gadol Shalom. Right, there's, on Birchos Kanan, the Medrash goes through, I don't know, 20 things Gadol Shalom. Okay, but there's a lot of Gadol Shaloms.
Yeah, a lot of Shaloms in the Bracha.
It's the final Bracha Birchos Kohanim.
I have no idea what's going on.
You know what's going on? Okay, don't worry about it. It's not this, okay.
No.
The Rambam at the end of... I'm going to get to it, don't worry. Okay? There's just the Hakdama. Oh,
there's no
Mara.
Okay?
Okay,
it's just not happening.
Okay, we might go long tonight. Okay. So the Rambam is, if you have a person has Ner Chanukah and Ner Shabbos, he only has enough money for one, right? Mm-hmm. If you have Ner Beso, Ner Chanukah, or Ner Beso, Kiddush Hayom. So Ner Beso comes first for the Shabbos candles. Why? Mishum Shalom. Mishum Shalom Beso. Shere Hashem Nimchak Lasa Shalom Bein Shlishto. You raise the Shem Hashem by Sota in order to make Shalom. Gadol HaShalom Shekol Torah Nitna Lasa Shalom Be'olam. How great is Shalom that the entire Torah is given in order to make Shalom in the world. Shem Adarcheh Adarcheneh Mechol Nesiva Seh Shalom. Okay. So the objective of the Torah is really to make Shalom. And like Abaye said, and the Rambam says, is that the halachically, and it's halachic nafkaminus, right? Why you over pursue Menisa, Kiddush Mor Gadol is great, but nevertheless, Shalom Beso takes precedence, and the Shem Hashem, you erase the Shem Hashem for Shalom.
Really?
You do, Sota.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yes, amazingly. Okay, so Gadol HaShalom. So in the Bayis question to Rav Yossi, you can't tell me that the entire Torah is for Shalom, Nedaki Shalom. That's not a good explanation. You can explain every mitzvah that way. Right, so it can't be explained. That's why he learns the Mishnah differently, which we're not obviously not going to. Okay, but that's what I want to say is, what does it mean that there's no piskon path for the satan b'mekatrig? Is that if Klal Yisrael is involved in avodah zara, but they have shalom b'neihem, there's no room for the midas adin to have an argument to punish them, because in a sense, what are you complaining about? Is the whole Torah's purpose is shalom, and they have it. Now it's true is if you're modin avodah zara kofar and kol tar kulo. Right, everything, but they have the objective of the Torah. How can you punish them at this point? What's the justification? If the Torah is a means to an end to produce shalom, other things too. You can't take it out of context. But
when you say shalom, you just mean between man and man.
Yeah, well, between man and God also.
Then that is not shalom when they do avodah zara.
Between man and man, if that makes you happy.
No, you have to say that. The whole thing is just like a social. I don't like that.
Emesvah, how is whatchamacallit, the most Mashiach described? Emesvah Shalom Ahevu? Okay, Emesvah. Right, we'll leave that aside for now. It's about Shalom, okay?
The Torah is just to help man get along better with other men. So if I'm on an island by myself, I shouldn't keep the Torah?
No, you should still do it. Keep the Torah. Okay, keep the Torah. In case you end up meeting up with other people, you should know how to interact.
Okay.
So that's why I think the pshat is. What does it mean that the satan can't be mekatrik? It's because if the whole Torah is to make is mivnei darkei shalom and you have shalom, so what room is there for the midas adin? There's no pischon peh. Now, is it going to last? No, it's not going to last.
You're saying it can't last?
No, I don't think it'll last. Ideas. Correct, because yet so you see in Perek Dalet,
it's like socialism,
just like socialism, exactly.
Yeah.
No, meaning it's
you want to have other people's money? Yeah, good intentions.
Like communism, it's meant for it's meant for the good of society. I'm like that with good intentions.
It's been a while here on a tangent. He needs it every.
and then it falls apart because it's based on false ideas.
Exactly. No, it's good. It's good. No, it's good. It's not bad. Okay. It's good. It's true. No, so you see in Perek Dalet and Hosea, it's leave them alone. But Perek Yud, they're already fighting. See, it's not gonna last. The permanent state of Shalom is Emes v'Shalom Ahevu Yimos Mashiach. You have to have Emes with it. I see, based on true idea. The Shem Hashem, ultimately, in Yedias Hashem, and Kiddush Hashem, and the whole idea of Yimos Mashiach, is the only stable state where it's going to be produced. But nonetheless, there is this idea. It's possible to have Shalom with Avodah Zara. It is possible. It won't last. Maybe it'll last six prakim. It won't last much longer than that. But it'll break down. But the ultimate objective of the world is Yimos Mashiach, which is going to be Shalom. The Ram ends Hilchos Malachim with Darcha Darcha Nam Chonasiv Shalom. I think he ends with that positive. I mean, that's 2 seconds before, but forget about it. Yeah, go ahead.
Does that mean you could explain every mitzvah in the context of how it benefits society?
No, that's a large group of the mitzvahs. The Gemara, the Monavuchim, a large group of the mitzvahs. Okay. But I'm saying ultimately, even the idea of the Yedias Hashem, it's not just. I see I should have given a shiur before on Shalom before I did this one. Even Yedias Hashem, it's not.
And I recognize this is a side thing.
It's not just the idea of the Torah of knowledge of God. It's not simply people sitting in a room learning, thinking about God as individuals. The eschatological vision of Klal Yisrael is to have a whole society where everybody founded upon the ideas of God, right? And not just the idea of Yichud Hashem, but the idea of Haskeh Odosi Yekani Hashem Ose Chesed Stako Mishra Ba'aretz Ki Be'ela Chafatzti, right? Not just Yichud Hashem, but the Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The idea of how God acts and how Ki Be'ela Chafatzti Valachta B'drachav and Lidamos Bel. For the individual and society to internalize the derech of Hashem, and that the knowledge of God should permeate the individuals, they should structure their society around the idea of God, and that should result in shalom. That's the objective. The final bracha of Kadosh Baruch Hu is shalom. It's not just abstract yichud Hashem. That's not the ideals of the Torah. That's an ideal of a cold intellectual, but not the Torah's vision of what the perfect society, the perfect person is. Okay, so it's right the dream of the Yaakov and the Malach, right? The Navi goes up and then he comes back down. Like the Ram explains in the okay.
Yeah. No, we do that.
Okay, good. So it's that's the ideals of the Torah. So it's ultimately to create a society founded upon Yichud Hashem and the Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that results in a new level of existence of individuals and society. And that's the knowledge of God is essential to that. It won't be permanent, it won't last. But that doesn't mean you can't have shalom with avodah zara in a temporary state. And when you have that state, gadol hashalom, that the midas adin will not destroy that. It will leave it alone. Because there's no pischon peh. What's your argument? The whole objective of the Torah is right here. And now, yeah, they're worshiping avodah zara, they get no Torah, but they have the objective. You can't do anything. It won't last, and as soon as it breaks up, the midas adin is going to come down on them. It didn't go so well for Klal Yisrael there. But while the shalom is there, gadol hashalom. Shafilu Klaiso Bibinesha of the Zara, and there's no Pischon Pat for the Satan to be Makapshik. Yes, Yaakov.
What value does that society have exactly? The one that's serving Avodah Zara?
It's when they have Shalom?
Yeah.
I mean,
Of course, isn't there a person you know in the realm saying it's very good to live in the desert and stay in the best society?
And stay in the best society?
To stay in the best society.
In a bad society?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not, it's not talking about a bad society.
What is that?
It is shalom. This is not the worst society. Like we said, the that Rashi, right, where the Rashi is the difference between the Dor HaFlaga and the Dor HaMabul, right? We have part three here. I haven't even started.
I think it's the end of Noah, no?
If you kind of think about it, at least if they all have peace amongst each other, at least they...
It's impossible.
They did a Avodah Zarah in a unified nation, and therefore they could just, you know...
Who cares about
just
a nation?
Die in peace.
Right. So Rashi, it's Perikid Alf Pasuk Tes. Perikid Alf Pasuk Tes on the Dora of Laga. He says... So neither of them are chayek lom haba. The dor mabul, dor flaga. The chayzu kasha shal dor mabul shal dor flaga. Eli lo pashtu yad beker velu pashtu yad beker. Right, these guys are kofar beker. They're trying to attack God. The dor flaga. Lehilachim bo velu nishtatz velu lo nevdim in olam. But the dor mabul was wiped away, flooded away, and these guys were not destroyed. El shador mabul how you guys lanim vaysim mariva b'neim lekach nevdu. Okay, same exact lashon. Sanim machlokes v'gadol shalom is that, look, when you have shalom, you have the one way to understand it is you have the potential, the possibility that you can have a society that will turn away from avodah zarah and turn to the true ideas of God and ultimately reach the final vision.
That's
midas
harachmim,
not midas hadin. Meaning he's saying, oh, they're unified now, maybe they could push off.
That's what I'm saying. One way you can explain it is that...
That
I agree with that. One way you can understand, I'm trying to help Yaakov here, okay? Let's be nice. Okay, one way you can understand is there's a potential in society that has shalom, even if they have the wrong philosophy, there's a potential for them to exist and to develop further along the path of reaching the objective that God has set for mankind. Okay. I agree with you. I agree with that. I'm interpreting the Satan B'Makatreg as a Midas HaDin argument. Is that the Midas HaDin can't attack them if they're in that?
Maybe that's why it includes the Satan. Meaning, so it's a two step thing that God won't punish.
Right.
Meaning the Satan will prosecute, but God won't punish.
No, the Satan won't prosecute.
Satan won't prosecute.
So I'm saying there's no opening because they're involved in the end. What are you going to attack them? Now, look, it's true. It's a superficial shalom. I'm not saying it's the ultimate shalom. It's not Yemos HaMashiach here. It's a superficial shalom, and it won't last. But still, it partakes of shalom. And once there's shalom, there's no Midas HaDin to destroy that. The Midas HaDin will not destroy a society that has shalom, even if it's engaged in being kofar be'ikar lehilachim bo, and even if it's involved in avodah zarah. Gadol Hashalom v'sanei machlokes. It's an unbelievable limud to show you that the value the Torah places on shalom. And if you, and shalom is greater than MS. Okay, that's the.
No. Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Where do you learn that shalom is greater than MS?
From William James.
From HaKadosh Baruch Hu. James. Yeah, that's another place. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, right? Where do we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mesham near shalom?
By Sarah.
Right, and there's this. It's a matter to lie, and the way Reb Chaim explained, at least the way Rebbe Hakadosh Baruch Hu, he didn't tell Avraham what Sarah really said. He was Mishana. He has changed her words. He changed what she said. He left out the Vadoni Zaken. Right. So,
why did he tell him anything in the first place?
Well, that's a different shear. So, and this is the way Rebbe told me that Reb Chaim learned is that why do you lie because of Shalom? Because Shalom is greater than Emes. Okay, there's a hierarchy of values. I see this year is good for you.
Yeah, this has to be a separate year because I'm like containing myself.
Okay. There's values. You have to have a hierarchy of values. And Shalom is the top of it. Okay? It's and you know, you have to read those Midrashim and Birchos Kohanim, Gadol HaShalom. Okay? And it's you see the unbelievable place that Chazal from the Torah where they place on Shalom. Okay? And I say, therefore, even if they're over the avodah zarah, there's no room to be mekatreg. Klai Yisrael has shalom. What more could you ask for them? What more could you ask? You can't ask for any more. They have the end. It's not stable because it's rooted in avodah zarah. It won't last. Okay, it's not Yemos Mashiach. Don't confuse a shalom.
And truth won't last without shalom.
Yeah, truth won't last without shalom too. Emes v'shalom ehevu, you have to have them combined. Okay, but gadol shalom. Okay, and Aaron. I'm glad I went off on that tangent. Okay, you'll think about it. You come back to me with any. Does it make sense yet or no? Still no sense. No? Okay, yeah, good. It's perfect. Okay. So now, okay.
The answers?
Oh, man. Answers? Okay, go ahead. I don't know what the question is. What's the question?
No, I'm asking. Can I just clarify?
We're up to the answers.
Yeah, we're now up to the answers. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. No, we could dwell on this point a little bit. No?
I feel like this is a separate share, not like a 5 minute.
I know. I should develop it.
Okay, next week.
Okay, you know, yeah, Rebbe gave a share on this a couple years ago. Guys had the same expression on their face that you did, so it's good.
Shit.
And shalom, about shalom. Everything's about this? Shalom. It's all about shalom.
Where
okay.
is this?
Where is it? I don't know. So people, really, I'd say about 4 years ago or so.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't that long.
13. Do you remember the title?
Shalom. I don't know. I'd say about 4 or 5 years. I try. 2012, 2013. Okay.
Look through all of them.
Okay.
I will.
Okay, so now let's move on to the answers.
Can I
your question. Go ahead.
No, that was...
Oh, so your question is, am I saying Shalom is more important than Yedias Hashem?
Yeah.
No, I'm not really saying that. I'm saying that Yedias Hashem is not what you think it is. It's not just abstract intellectual knowledge of Yichud Hashem. Okay, but Yedias Hashem is... Like, you know the Rambam, the last Rambam, the Mor Nevuchim, the last chapter? Yes. That's the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Haskel v'yedos, right? Kikim b'zos yishalom ishalo. This is what a person should praise himself for. Haskel v'yedos, ki ani Hashem ozeh chesed stako mishva ba'aretz, b'kerev aretz, ki b'eile chafatzi nim Hashem. The Rambam says, makes a point, is that what a person should praise himself for, should be ishalom ishalo, that he should be exalted for and praised, is not because, is not that he's haskel v'yedos, that you're intelligent, you know God, ki ani echad or ki an kamoni. I think the pasuk doesn't end that way. It says ki ani Hashem osa chesed stakum mishva b'kerev aretz ki be'ele chafatzi. That's what Hashem desires. So the knowledge of God, the knowledge of God, Yedias Hashem is not just knowledge of Yichud Hashem. That's one aspect of Yedias Hashem, God's essence, how it's different, nothing like Yichud Hashem. The other type of Yedias Hashem is knowing how God acts, knowing His ma'isim, like Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah after the Chayre Egel. Is Hareini Nas Derechecha Lamanei Derecha.
I always thought that the Midos were to help you, like, the purpose of Midos, isn't that the position of the Rambam, is to help you attain the ideas?
No, the Midos are Yedias Hashem. That's
aren't
knowledge.
Are you the guy who said that, like, having good Midos is just a tool?
That's different. That's the stira. I thought we did that. That's in that shir. That's just ethics. That's ethics. That's not rooted in metaphysics. That's like in a psychological.
No, that's
ethics.
The whole thing with society.
No. This is a different idea. I'm sure in this shir we discussed this. I'm sure we discussed this point. That there's idea of an ethics based upon metaphysics, based upon a knowledge of God. That's the motion. Hareini Nas Drachecha. Show me your ways, Lamanei Deacha, so I might know you. The knowledge of God is a knowledge of His ways. That's the other half of the equation of Yedias Hashem. And knowing God's ways is not just, again, it's not just studying His ways, it's by living it. And by acting out Chesed Stako Mishpat and developing a depth of knowledge and structuring your psyche around the idea of the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God, there's two ways you can know something. You can know what it is, or what it is not, and know how it behaves, how it acts. And the knowledge of how God acts and behaves is an essential feature of Yedias Hashem, and that's what He desires, that you should understand how He acts and you should model your behaviors after Him. Now, what do those behaviors produce? What does Chesed Stakum Mishpat produce? Produces Shalom. That's the result of acting like God, as you produce Shalom. When a person behaves and society behaves like God, the end result is Shalom. Hashem Yivarech Es Amo B'Shalom. Right, that's the final bracha of Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Maise Hashem. When they are realized, they produce shalom.
I don't remember where I heard this, but I think it was a Q&A that Rabbi said that if any of your midos are messed up, or if you're not good at any mitzvah, it points to the fact that you have one of your ideas are wrong.
Your ideas of like God are wrong.
Yeah.
Yes. ultimately, but I'm saying is when we say that Yedias Hashem is the ultimate, we don't just mean Yichud Hashem. It's knowledge of God of his essence, meaning that he's negative knowledge of his essence, Yichud Hashem, what he is not. He doesn't have parts, he's not two, there's nothing like him, he doesn't change, all ideas about what he is not. The idea of existence, necessary existence, he's not contingent on anything else, which is also a negative idea, right? And then positive knowledge about how he acts and how he behaves. And so you can emulate that, to be v'halachta b'drachav, to be hidamos b'shchina, to be like God, by changing your soul, the structure of your soul, patterning your soul off of God's midos. Your yedias Hashem should inform your behavior and inform your soul. And that's Yaakov Avinu ultimately, right? Vayikra lo kel. Okay. So that's Moshe Rabbeinu. That's right. When they saw Moshe Rabbeinu get angry, they said God must be angry. Moshe Rabbeinu's chait, the way Ram explains it, because if Moshe Rabbeinu's angry, God must be angry, because Moshe wouldn't do anything that God wouldn't do, because he was the ultimate, right? Kesisi Kohen Yishmeru Das, also by Aaron. Right? Torah Vakash Piyuki Domal Malch Hashem Tzavakosu. So your Rebbe, right, and the Kohen, right, Aaron and Moshe Rabbeinu, right, is Domal Malch Hashem Tzavakos, is that he's, you look at the Rebbe, he's patterned his psyche off of the Shekhinah, and you can learn from him how God acts, because your Rebbe is trying to act like God acts. And that's Yedias Hashem, to that your soul and your psyche should be structured and should be informed by the knowledge of God.
And how God acts? Like the
Mahu Afata. Mahu Nikurachum Afata Yerachum. You study God, how God acts in the nature and in the Torah, the Shkacha Pratis, and you pattern your actions and you change your psyche. You restructure your soul based upon those ideas. And the ultimate result of all those things, of how God acts, is Shalom.
It's like Taoist.
Yeah, something like that.
Align yourself with nature.
The way. Derech. The Derech Hashem.
Just like
right, I would call it the Derech Avraham, the Derech Hashem, but yeah, for sure. Okay, good.
Are there any other questions that need to be answered?
Just transform.
Yes, okay, so let's try to move on this year. Okay, wow. We're in trouble here. Okay. Okay, now. Okay, now let's try to answer those questions from Rashi. First one is let me ask two more questions. Or answer the question. Is Rashi says, Kasha Misasan Shel Tzadikim, Kiyom Shin Shtabri Bo Haluchos. Okay? Right? The Misa Tzadikim is as difficult as the day that the Luchos are broken. Okay? Now, there's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on your Chesem and Beis. Okay? I'm not going to go into where it compares Tisha B'Av to Tzom Gedalia in the Pasuk in Zechariah. And the Gemara says, Gimel B'Tishrei, Shabo Nera Gedalia Ben Achikam Mihargo Yishmael Ben Nesanya Hargu Lamdecha Sheshekula Misashen Shel Tzadikim Kisreifas Beis Elokeinu. That the Misa of Tzadikim is equal to the burning of the Beis HaMikdash.
The what of Tzadikim?
The Misa of Tzadikim.
When you say Misa, you mean the killing?
The death.
Okay.
The Misa of Tzadikim. The Misa of Tzadikim. Same Lashon Rashi has Misashen Shel Tzadikim. Except in our Rashi, in Akev, he has the Misa of Tzadikim is equal to the the breaking of the Luchos. Okay? And in here, this Gemara has that the Misa of Tzadikim is equal to the Sreifas Beis Elokeinu, right? The burning of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? What day was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed?
Tisha
B'Av. Okay, good. Okay, that's where I'm going to be going with it. One is Shavuos V'Talmuz, one is Tisha B'Av. Right? It's two, because it's...
Both weren't on Tisha B'Av, though.
What's not both on Tisha
B'Av? They were both on Tisha B'Av? I thought, like, yeah, they're
like,
both by a day or something.
Well, they're both, remember, like Tisha B'Av. The 9th, the 10th, don't worry about it. Yeah. Okay?
Separate share.
Okay.
Best way to diffuse the situation.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, good. So the question is, what's the idea of those two members of Chazal? Why it's comparing the Misa Tzadikim to the Shviras Luchos and to the destruction of Beis HaMikdash? What are the two ideas, the Misa Tzadikim? Now, there's a third Chazal, Rashi, it's in Chukas, in Bamidbar.
So many new facts.
I know, I didn't want to give it away. Perichav Pasuk Aleph, right? In Chukas. Vayavo b'nei Yisrael kol eid amidbar tzim b'chodesh rishon v'yishavam b'kadesh v'tamasham Miriam v'tikav esham. So Miriam dies, okay? So it's right after Parshas Paraduma, Parshas Para, which we read last week, right? is the Misa of Miriam. Okay? Rashi says, Lama Nismecha Misas Miriam LaParshas Paraduma. Why are they juxtaposed? The death of Miriam and the Parsha Paraduma. Lo Milcha Ma Karbonis Mechaprim Af Misas and Sadikim Mechaperis. So just like the Misa of, just like the Karbon and Paraduma is Mechaper. For the Egel, by the way. Rashi has the whole Rashi. Right? That whole Rashi before. And Kashem She'egel Metame Kolskin Kach Par Metame Kolskin Ba Kashem She'egel. Right? But Rashi has the whole equation of the Egel and the Paraduma. So just like the Paraduma is Mechaper, so too the Misa of Tzadikim is Mechaper. Okay, the Egel is not really an essential point. It just happens to be cute. It works in.
Wait, the Misa of Tzadikim are Mechaper?
Yes, the Misa of a Tzadik is Mechaper.
Yeah, I
Mechaper
the,
what? Your sense?
I heard the reason. Right. Maybe it was you that said this. That the reason why that is because when they, after a Tzadik dies, they think about him and then they, it inspires them to do tshuva.
Exactly. Okay, good? Exactly. Okay, good. So now, that's what I want to say is the difference. What's the difference between these different chazals? Okay. So, let's start off with the Tisha B'Av and Shavuot HaTamos. What's the difference between Tisha B'Av and Shavuot HaTamos? What's the difference between the breaking of the Luchos and the Sreifas Beis HaLakein, the burning of the Beis HaMikdash? Okay. Is that in the breaking of the Luchos, it was a tragedy, and it was the end of a path of the Hashgacha, path of Klal Yisrael, future history of Klal Yisrael was closed off. The first Luchos were broken. Okay. But it wasn't the end. There was an alternative path opened up through Midas Arachamim that was available. There was a second Luchos given. There was Kapara, right? There was a possibility that it wasn't the end. Okay. Shavuot HaTamos is a tragedy, and there is consequences. Certainly for the Chet Egel and the breaking of the Luchos. You don't get the first Luchos back. The same Luchos are not the same as the first Luchos. Right, Moshe is the one who... Okay, that's another shear. Right? But it's not the same. You lose something, but there's an alternative path, a substitute path, with the tragedy of the breaking of the Luchos. But with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, that's the end of a path. Okay, it's the Galus, the Chet HaMaraglim. Chet HaMaraglim, it's over. There's no, that generation, it's done. There's no alternative. There's no Midas HaRachamim in the end for them. There's a Shavua and it's finished. The burning of the Beis HaMikdash is the end of an era. It's the, right? There's no more Nir HaYashem Ka'oyev. The Midas HaRachamim is almost not apparent. It's not gone completely, but it's almost not there. Tisha B'Av is different. It's a different level than Shavuot HaTamos. Tisha B'Av is an end. Okay, it's an end and it's a loss and it's a velus. And it's not. There's no alternative path. It's galus. It's the end. End of the plan. I mean, not the end of ultimate of Klal Yisrael, of course, but the end of that plan. And there's no Midas HaRachamim substitute. Shavuot HaTamos and the Luchos. There's still possibility for tshuva. There's still possibility that it's not over. Okay, that's why you have Shavuot HaTamos first. You don't do tshuva 3 weeks later every year. You have right. You have Tisha B'Av. Okay, now what determines? Now the Misa of Tzadikim is like that. Okay, the Misa of Tzadikim could be, it's a tragedy, something is lost with the Misa of a Tzadik, but does it represent an end or does it represent an alternative path? Is dependent upon how the Tzibor reacts to it. Okay, and whether it's Mechaper, because the Misa of Tzadikim could be Mechaper. And what does it depend on? I'll say it depends on whether they're Maspidem, whether there's a Hesped. Okay? Well, there's a proper hesped of the tzibor. If they're maspid the tzibor, if the tzibor is maspid the tzaddik, then you have kapara. Then there's kapara. If the tzibor is not maspid, if they don't eulogize the tzaddik properly, then there's Aaron. They were maspid ultimately properly.
Ultimately
correct. Correct.
Meaning that they didn't initially take his death.
Correct. Now let me show you two examples of this. In the last pasuk in Yeshua, Perchav Dalad Pasuk Lamed. So Rashi says, so it's third to last pasuk. It says, Vayikbru Oso, right? Vayi Achre Edvar Me'ila Vayamos Yeshua Benun Eved Hashem Bemei Av Eser Shanim Vayikbru Oso Bigvul Nachalaso V'simna Sarach, Hashem Har Ephraim, Mitzvon Lahar Gosh. Okay, north of Har Gosh. What's Har Gosh? So Rashi says, okay. Lahar Gosh is based on the Gemara in Shabbos, Kufay. Milame Shirash Aleha Mahar, Lahargam. That the mountain quaked over them to kill them. Lefishlo Espiduhu Karoi. Okay, they weren't Maspid Yehoshua properly. And therefore, they almost deserved to be destroyed, to be killed, because they weren't Maspid Yehoshua properly.
What did they not?
Tosfos in Shabbos says that they didn't cry for him for 30 days, like they did for Moshe and Aaron. On Kofema base. It doesn't say, Vayifkos or Shloshim Yom. I mean, Aaron and Moshe, they cried for 30 days, and Yehoshua was like them. Maybe he wasn't Moshe and Aaron, but he was in their generation. Yeah, exactly. The moon. And they should have been maspid him, and they should have cried and had a hesped in a veils for 30 days. But they did not. And because of that, they deserve to be destroyed. I don't know the end of that story, why they weren't, or something like that. I wasn't able to track any more Midrashim that followed up on that. But, okay. And then Shmuel Beis, Pasuk Chaf Aleph Aleph, a similar thing with the death of Shaul. So, Chaf Beis Aleph.
Wait,
didn't Shaul do a Hesped?
For Shaul?
Shaul killed a lot of people, man.
Shaul? Okay, we're not going to get that. So the Pasuk says,
kill somebody.
Sometimes you have to learn things a little superficially, you know, just get a point.
How is this going to fit with his share? He killed 70 Kohanim.
No, listen, it's in his pasuk. Don't worry about it.
He was a good guy.
Listen, yeah. Vayhi rav b'mei David shalosh shanim, shana achar shana. So year after year, there was a hunger. Vayvakish David p'nei Hashem. He tried to understand it. Vayom Hashem el Shaul el beis adamim al shehemis sagivonim. Okay, so why is it coming from? Rashi is El Shaul Al Avon Shaul Shenikru Pison Behechave Sheganvuhu Anche Yavish Gilad Vekavruhu Velo Nisbad Lefikvoda.
What does it mean?
So that the part of the reason for the sin, also it's for, hold on a second,
counting,
is for the fact that they, when they stole his body after he was killed in battle, killed or committed suicide.
Who stole?
Anche Shaul.
Yes.
You know that story?
Yeah, when
I
like
he
threw himself down on his sword and he's like, finish me off before they get to me. And he chopped his head off and then he gave him his villain or whatever.
No.
I just thought Shaul just got his head cut off in war.
No, he fell on his sword. He fell on his sword.
Oh, that was
similar. So, but he was buried in a quick way. They stole his body, Anshe Yavish Gilad, and they buried him, and there wasn't a hesped lefi kvodo. That was appropriate for him. Again, because of that, there was the sin. That was the why there was, right? Now, also, it's because Novi or Kohanim, that Shaul himself was responsible for, right? But one of the sins was the fact, El Shaul, Rashi is Dorish Al Shaul. It's because of there wasn't a hesped properly. Okay, in contrast, when Yoshiyahu died, see if I have this. I couldn't find the medrash that's the sources, but it's in Rabbi Elazar HaKalir's Piyutim. It's in Kinos. In Kino Yud Aleph, we say in Tisha B'Av.
Piyut's a good medrash source?
Rabbi Elazar HaKalir. It's always based on medrashim. I don't know what his source was, but it's definitely medrash.
I thought we don't like Piyutim because they bend the stuff for poetry's sake.
Really, we're from Ashkenaz. We hold by Piyutim. Okay, we say
yeah,
it in the VR.
I'm from YBT.
Oh, you're from Rambam? Rambam guy. Okay, and Bali Tosis held by it. Okay, Rashi held by it. We're learning Rashi. Rashi held by Piyutim. Okay?
World matter.
Ashkenaz. Yeah, Ashkenaz definitely holds by it. Okay? So it ends. Kina Yudalf is Tala Esher Mushtayim. So the decree was suspended for 22 years. Meharo Shasos from destroying the foundations of the Mikdash. Kisaftu lo Echa. Because Yirmiyah was Mekonin Yoshiyahu with Echa. Be Esher Mushtayim Osos. With 22 letters. So the Kina, I think it's the... Is it the third? I think it's the third book. Oh, I forgot which one it is. I think it's maybe the third.
Third what?
Of Eicha. Maybe the fourth chapter of Eicha is the Kina. I forgot which one. Is the Kina. Eicha Yuham Azav. Maybe it's the fourth chapter of Eicha. Is Yirmiyahu's Kina for Yoshiyahu that was a tzaddik. when he was killed. So Yirmiyahu was meconing him with Eicha, Aleph, after Beis. It's not Negev.
Was the guy who was blood boiled?
Who? Yoshiyahu? No. Yoshiyahu is the one who was the tzaddik who turned away from Avodah Zarah, and he died 22 years before the Mikdash was destroyed, the first Mikdash, because he trusted in his that Moshe Rabbeinu is Nevuah, that there's not going to be Cherev Yolo Yarev Baratzachem.
Oh,
and the Mitzrayim killed him.
Was...
Yirmiyahu told him, "Don't rely on it." Right?
Yeah.
There's a nevuah from Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu had enough.
He was the pincushion guy.
Exactly.
The who?
Okay.
The what?
Don't worry. Leave him alone. Okay. Don't encourage.
It's
okay.
Too late.
Get shot with arrows. The arrows. The archers. The archers got him.
I'm okay. Missing so many parts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so because they were maspid him properly, there was a kina, Yirmiyahu was maspid him properly, so the destruction of Mikdash was withheld for 22 years.
Because of a hespid.
Because of the hespid.
Okay. That's a powerful hespid.
Very powerful.
Why didn't you write this down?
Yeah. Eicha, Perek Dalet. Perek Dalet Eicha.
Oh, the hespid is written down? Okay.
Perek Dalet Eicha is the hespid. Okay. Eicha Yom Zav, I think. You can check it out. I think Rashi there says that. Okay. So you see is now, what does the hespid do? Okay, what a hesped does is it takes the perfection of the tzaddik and the ideals and the values that he embodied and epitomized, and it causes the am to reflect on them and to internalize them. Okay, to internalize those values. Okay, that's what a proper hesped does. Is lefikvodo.
So it shouldn't just be like an inspirational thing. It should actually be teaching.
It changes the people. It's an emotional experience. It's what Avelis really is. When you have a proper Avelis and you discuss the person and his perfections and his values, it changes. It's a method of internalizing, incorporating those perfections into
how is it
the people.
Than inspiration, and we know that inspiration doesn't work. Meaning, how does it differ from inspiration in that it does work?
I'm not sure what your inspiration thing is referring to, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. It's Avelis. That's what the process of Avelis really is.
Irrelevant.
You're internalizing the values and the ideas of the mace, the tzaddik, and you're taking those perfections and you're internalizing it. Okay. So now like this. When Aaron was alive, okay, he kept the tzibor together in terms of shalom. That's what he was. That's him and his kohanim, his sons. That's what they did. Oiv shalom v'rodev shalom. Makarvim, right? Oiv v'briyas and makarvim v'torah. And when Aaron was alive, the tzibor, Klal Yisrael was able to stay together because they had the tzaddik of Aharon. Okay? Once he died, that perfection was lost from the nation. Okay? They lost that element of shalom, of what kept them together. The motive force, behind Shalom in the Tzibor was Aaron, his perfection, and his as a tzaddik and his activities. And once they lost that, they lost that perfection. So they were no longer zocha to the Anan HaKavod if they didn't have Shalom. Why? The Anan HaKavod protected them from an external enemy. Okay. So there's two ways you can have Shalom in a Tzibor. One is because the Tzibor has the ability on its own to have shalom because of the perfection of the tzibor, let's say right now with Aaron HaKohen, who's able to do that. The other way is if you have discord amongst people, an external enemy will create shalom. Okay, when you're attacked, if you remember in 9/11, everybody pulls together, everybody is one. In Israel, everybody's always fighting, but whenever there's a war going on, everybody pulls together, nobody criticizes, they still do it there anyway, but, okay, in theory, you're not supposed to. An external enemy causes people to come together, causes them to unify.
Yeah, it's like an old
okay?
sci-fi.
So there's a benefit to an enemy. There's a benefit to an enemy attacking a people. It causes them to congeal, to come together, to unify.
Nationalism.
Yes, an external enemy brings it about. Yes, Hitler played on that also.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Anan HaKavod to prevent, Klal Yisrael was zocha to the Anan HaKavod to protect them from the external enemies because they didn't need the external enemies. The enemies wasn't necessary for them to be one whole, to be a unity. But that was so long as they had Aaron. When they had Aaron HaKohen, Oiv Shalom, Rodev Shalom, and they had his values and what he did for them, they didn't need the external enemy, and it would be a distraction, it would be harmful. So they had the Naya Kavod, they protected them from the enemies. Once he died and they lost the Shalom, they lost his perfection, then they no longer deserved to have protection from the enemy. The protection of the enemy was only insofar as they had, is that they were able to continue their mission as Am Yisrael without needing the external force of an enemy attacking them, persecuting them. Okay, so they can continue their mission to go into Eretz Yisrael, set up the base of Mekdash, because they had that perfection on their own. They're able to be one whole. Once they lost Aaron, they were no longer able to do that without an enemy.
So the enemy didn't do that.
Okay. It should have. Okay. Now, when Aaron died, the clouds go away and the enemy attacks. Now, Klai Yisrael, they did not unify. That was not their initial response to unify and come together.
Like the first time they fought along.
Right, the first time they did. Right? I guess they had Moshe there. Well, Hashem really. Okay, yeah. Okay. So they ran away, they retreated, they panicked. And in fact, they had a civil war. Right? They killed each other. There was you don't even find up, and you don't find civil wars in the Torah, right?
Why?
Because Aaron was alive. There was no civil war.
Why doesn't it mention? Oh, you're not addressing it.
No, I'm just saying you don't have any civil wars beforehand. Because
okay.
There's Aaron HaKohen. The civil war, right?
That wasn't really a civil war.
No. Yeah, go ahead.
Not to be annoying, but weren't they united in running away?
Weren't they?
United in their running away?
No, Sheva Levi wasn't happy with them running away. Sheva Levi chased after them to kill them.
But everyone else, though.
Yeah, but united as a nation.
You can't have everyone else's uniform.
You had two groups. You know, it's like saying the North is united, America's united, because the North is united and the South is united. That's
not
united.
It's not splintered, though. It's factions all over.
Two groups? Okay, it's not like it is nowadays.
Right.
Yes, it could be worse.
Right.
Okay, it could be worse. But still, you know, having two groups in a civil war, that is a lack of unity.
I mean, how many people die? Like over 600,000?
Oh, in that civil war?
No.
Oh, in the American Civil War.
Yeah.
A lot. Yeah, it was bad.
I mean, even just having two sides.
Yeah, no, just two unified sides is not a unified nation.
Two unified sides is worse than having 10,000 unified.
Arguably, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot more dangerous. Yes, go ahead.
You don't have to answer that, but it's a completely side irrelevant point. Do you think that's why they're like terrorists? Because the
Haredim and the I'm not gonna answer that. No.
I just had to say it. I'm sorry.
Okay, good. I'm glad you got it out of your system. No, I do think that there's a message for Klal Yisrael that you get to see from the story that you're not the zchus to be protected from an external enemy is based upon the fact that there's shalom amongst Klal Yisrael. If there's shalom amongst Klal Yisrael, then you're zochot nani akavod. If you're not, there's no shalom amongst Klal Yisrael, then you don't deserve to be protected from enemies. You have enemies left and right. And if you didn't have those enemies, it'd be worse. You'd be worse off without those enemies, because that would really allow Klal Yisrael to splinter and to fracture and to devolve into total chaos and fighting without the enemies. You don't realize how much those enemies are necessary to keep Klal Yisrael together. And in Israel today, you can really see it. It's not a crazy, you don't realize. Is if you remember, like, I don't want to get into the Haredim, but you remember how much they were fighting with the... As soon as you have the fight, everybody stops that fighting.
This is like a more recent example, just with communism. Like, well, if not for Soviet Russia, America probably would have been communist. But it was because they were fighting them. That's when they got the Red Scare and the anti all the communists in America.
Uh huh. No, so. Oh God. So it's true. So I'm saying, as fractured as Israel is today, I do not think the nation will be able to stay together with as fractured as it is with all the different fighting and groups. What allows it to function together as a whole is the reality that they know that if they break apart, they would be destroyed. Okay, they know they can fight up to so far amongst each other, up to a certain degree, because they know that if they keep fighting, then the enemies will destroy them. They're forced to unify in order to protect themselves from a foreign enemy. So the schus, who wants those foreign enemies? Who wants that? You'd rather shalom from peace. If you have internal peace, then God will give you external peace with your enemies. Right? They won't have any enemies. But if you don't have the internal peace, then you're going to need the enemies. That's necessary for Klal Yisrael. So in a sense, it's a good thing to have those enemies, because it would be much worse without them. But on the other hand, the ideal situation is to be able to provide the shalom internally. Okay. Now when Aaron died, they lost that. They had the civil war. And then they realized in Moseros after the civil war, and Sheva Levi won that war, okay, they realized what they took stock and they looked at what happened. They had abandoned the whole plan. They got terrified. They gave up the entire path of the Torah. They're going to Israel. They're going back to Mitzrayim, right? They lost the Anani HaKavod. They just had a civil war, and seven families go extinct from Klal Yisrael. Thousands of people are dead. And why? Because what happened? Because Aaron died. They realized it all, they traced back, it went back to Aaron. They lost Aaron, and that was the cause of everything. The cause of losing the Shalom, the cause of losing the Ananim, the cause of the attack of the Melech Arad, and the cause of the civil war was all Aaron. And they were maspid him, and that evil covered him with Seiros, Shamais Aaron. That's where it appeared to them that Aaron died. That's where they internalized Aaron. That's where they had the mourning, the deep, heavy mourning, and the hesped of Aaron for 30 days of Kol Beis Yisrael for Aaron. And what they did was they internalized the perfection of Aaron of Shalom. And they took his perfection, they didn't let it go away, and they internalized it, and his midos, and Talmidov, and we have the mission of Hillel.
Anan
did come back.
Did we?
Yes, after this. I mean, they had to fight that war, ultimately.
But they came back after Anan died?
I think so, in the Schus Moshe, it says. I think so.
That doesn't work with what we're saying. It should have been in the Schus Kali, so.
Well, you still need Moshe. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not Schus Moshe. Sure. Several questions, okay? I'm pretty sure that Anan did come back. I think it did. Okay, so maybe I'm wrong. I think they both came back. The bear and the Anonim came back with Swiss motion, I think, but maybe I'm wrong. Okay, so when they did they were misavil for Aaron and they avil kaved, that's when they internalized the perfection of Aaron. Okay, and that's why it's only like the luchos. That's why Moshe puts it with the luchos. It's not like the shrivas based on Elokeinu, because the misa of Aaron. You had a tragedy, you lost Aaron, but it opened up an alternative path. Okay, without the tshuva, without them doing tshuva and returning, which Sheva Levi caused them to return, literally and figuratively.
Which explains why there was no war with Amalek afterwards. Meaning, why did Amalek just disappear? If they're
attacking? No, they did fight them. They did attack them. They attacked them. Amalek got one, they attacked Amalek. Amalek got one.
Right, no, but Amalek left.
One maidservant, yes. But then Kaiso attacked them.
Oh, they attacked them again.
To get back, I think so.
What happened?
They made a neder. Kaiso made a neder. If you give them into our hands, we'll destroy them. They went to go save the maidservant.
Oh, a maidservant was captured?
Yeah, remember that? I think so. Okay, that's open in the Torah, I think. Okay. By Dayushal Neder, the Haramtim as Sarahim. Okay. So that's the Misa of Aaron was like the Shvir Saluchos. There was an alternative path that was created. And that turn of path occurred through Hesped. Through the proper Hesped of Aaron, they internalized his perfections and they were able to move on and to reestablish the plan of Klal Yisrael, of going back into Eretz Yisrael. And they did tshuva. And that's why the next pasuk is them doing tshuva and going back on the path. That, I could go to Yetzvasar, Snachle Mayim, right? First it has them reversing the path in pasuk Vav, Perikid, pasuk Vav, and Ekev. And then it has them. Hechziram, they do tshuva, but he saw this tshuva, and they literally in terms of the masos, and figuratively believe, right? They do tshuva, and they internalize Aaron's, they move forward, back on the path towards Eretz Yisrael, on the path of the Torah, because of the evil covered for Aaron, okay? And that's why it's compared to the Shvir Saluchos, Moshe puts in the Shvir Saluchos, and not the Shvir Beis Elkeinu, not with the Meraglim. Okay. And do we answer all the questions? And why is it like the Porish? I think Ariel Larson saying is good, is that why is it compared to the Egel? It's because the Chet of the Egel is also, when they lost, I guess it's because they lost Moshe there, not only they lost Aaron, but they abandoned the Torah, they abandoned the entire path and the entire objective of the Torah. It was they were Porish Me'akadosh Baruch Hu. Right, they were separating from it. They were doing a new plan, a new etzah, a new idea with an intermediary, and Nitna Rosh and to go back to Mitzrayim and Porish Mekadosh Baruch Hu. It was a total failure of Klal Yisrael's mission. This sin, this hate which led to the civil war, was an abandonment of the true mission of Klal Yisrael. Okay, and it was just as bad as the Chet Egel and the Chet Meraglim get a lot of ink in the Torah, but this is it's in the Midrashim. Yeah, go ahead.
No confusion.
Okay, in the Midrashim, but it's as bad a chet because it's Klal Yisrael abandoning as a nation, abandoning the path, abandoning their role and their mission. Okay, and it jeopardized the entire tzibor. We're not for Shevet Levi. That's why Be'isahi Hivdal Hashem as Shevet Levi. We're not for Shevet Levi being machzor than b'tshuva, and Klal Yisrael doing the tshuva through the avelus and the hesped of Aaron, the whole objective of Klal Yisrael would have been lost. Would have been over. Okay, but they were able to recover. Let me just do the last, the final point. I'll take the question. Okay, The final point is like this, is why does the Torah not talk about it? Why
that,
is it...
That was my question.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, perfect.
I know.
Well, I have a question.
You got an answer?
Yeah. Talk about...
It's a speculative question with a speculative answer. Okay? I don't know. There's different... I should have mentioned it. I worked out most of this year with Ellie Vader, about last summer. Okay? I should mention that. Not half of it, most of it, the core ideas, especially this last half an hour or so, I worked out with Ellie. Okay, so he has one answer for it, and I have a different one. And
can
it's,
we
it's
still try to come up with an answer?
Yeah,
can
sure.
No.
I'll tell you mine. You have the whole next to the whole.
Give us like 2 minutes.
No. It's late.
It's too late, Ariel. Too late. I say like this.
10 seconds.
I say like this. This is my opinion, okay? But there's many a different possibilities. It's so speculative. You have your own answer. Don't worry. It's not going to close off your possibilities. Okay. It's
Trust
definitely.
Me,
it's definitely late. Okay. I say like this. Is it the Torah records sins that have a permanent impact on the nation? Like the Egel is a Biyom.
Isn't this an important message?
It is. Hold on. Is it the Egel is a Biyom Pakti Fakati Aleichem?
It's too
emotional. It's a permanent Chet, the Chet Egel. Right? And every Onish that Klai Yisrael gets, Rashi says, is always an element of the Chet Egel in it. It's a permanent sin. And every time you read about the Chet Egel, the Gemara Megillah, or it's Rashi there. There's a busha from the Chet Egel, and that's mechaper to a certain degree. You always have Yom Kippur. The Chet Egel is a permanent chet and a permanent onesh, and it's with us. It's with us. The effects are permanent. And the chet is permanent. It's never completely erased. Okay, and likewise with the chet and the raglam, right? Is the you have Tisha B'Av because of the chet and raglam. You have Shavuos B'Tammuz because of the chet Egel, and you have Shavuos and you have Tisha B'Av because of the chet and raglam. And it's you atim b'chisem b'chias shalchinam v'ani atein lachem b'chil adoros. That Tisha B'Av is and the Bechia Ladoros is based on the Chet HaMeraglim. So the Torah records, and if you look at the other sins in between, they lead up. There's a transition from the Egel to the Meraglim. Okay? So I say that the sins that the Torah records are sins that are permanent sins, that are permanent elements in the social psyche of Klal Yisrael, in the structure of the Am and the psyche of the Am, in who we are as a nation. The Torah records the sins that we have that are permanent and are for there to be analyzed and studied. This sin that they had was the tshuva was complete. It was a tremendous sin. It was abandonment of the entire, don't think it was a small sin, an abandonment of the entire purpose of the Am, going back to Egypt. But because of Sheva Levi and because of the Avel Kaveh they did on Aaron, they were able to internalize the perfection of Aaron.
Oh,
Shalom and Rotev Shalom. So
who cares if they did tshuva? We want to do tshuva too. And how
you don't need to. This element, the perfection of Aaron, was incorporated into the nation. Okay, it was incorporated into the nation. Yes, it was a perfect tshuva, and they were able to go forward. And that's the tzaddik is a crutch. When you have the tzaddik, his perfection adds to tzibor, but he serves as a crutch. When he dies, there's this fork in the road, and you can lose his perfection, you can internalize it. They internalized his perfection. Obviously, there was a sequence of events they had to go through in order for that to accomplish. That were tragic events, but that the perfection was completed. It doesn't need to be recorded in the Torah as a sin that we study every year. You don't have to go over the Egel, the Meraglim, and the Chet of the Civil War that led to the Civil War every year over and over. And it doesn't have to be part of the permanent consciousness of the nation. The same way that those two sins.
I think it's such an important message.
Okay. Now, the Midrashim, the world of Medrash, teaches it to you. And these psukim in Akev allude to it, plus those other psukim we saw last week, it alludes to it. And there's an important limud. It is an important message. And there's tremendous ideas that come from it. Very valuable ideas that you have to study. But that's not the same thing as a permanent chet. You have to realize that the Egel and the Meraglim, and plus the other ones, the more minor ones, but the Egel and Meraglim, they're the core sins of Klal Yisrael, that are the permanent sins of Klal Yisrael. Okay, this, while it was a terrible sin on that level, it didn't become that, a permanent sin of Klal Yisrael such that it should be elevated. A permanent sin such that the tzibur always has those imperfections to a certain degree. And we're constantly doing tshuva, constantly trying to overcome the Chet HaEgel and the Chet HaMeraglim.
The Torah couldn't put this in because it wouldn't really necessarily be 100% relevant.
Yeah, not in the same way as the sins that the Torah does record. It's important.
Not inherently relevant.
It's not in the same way. Okay, they left it up to the world of Medrash and Rashi to bring it out, to bring out the story, and you can learn from it. But it's not the same; it didn't deserve to be recorded in the same way.
So.